Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world, and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if you're a regular listener, thank you again for joining us. And if this is your first time, please make yourself comfortable as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, each week, this show will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and skilled authors who are all working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I'm thrilled to have as our guest co-host today, Allie LaPrete. Now, Allie founded the widely popular OurMilkMoney.com, which is the largest online search directory for parents in the world. It's a nonprofit organization that lists the products and services of thousands of self-employed parents in more than 300 cities across the globe. Now, currently, Allie hosts her new weekly broadcast, Dramatic Impact with Allie. It's an inspirational and informative live show for those who are passionate about leadership, activism, and making positive contributions in the world. And anybody that's listened to this show knows that that's huge for me. And you can hear her show on iHeartMedia. Now, her first book was recently published by Motivational Press, and it's appropriately titled You Got This: A Lifelong Cheerleader's Guide to Owning Your Truth, Creating a Fulfilling Life, and Reaching Your Highest Potential as a Modern Mom. Allie, so glad that you could be here today with us.
Alan, you know, the last time that I was here, I had such an incredible bond with you, and I'm absolutely honored and so grateful that you asked me to come back. Thank you.
Well, share with us a little bit about the weekly broadcast that you're doing, because I know last time we got a chance to talk about the book, and we talked a little bit about some of the other things that you had done, but we didn't get to the new broadcast. So
yeah, you know, I did the first broadcast that that kind of went alongside of what you were talking about, OurMilkMoney.com, This Little Parent Stayed Home. That was really to help, you know, that was my way of advocating for moms and dads. And I did that, and I was super passionate about it for years. And then something shifted, as I think it did for so many people in the last year or so, where I woke. There's the word. That word woke. I woke up and I said, there's a lot of other places here for me to advocate and show activism. And I became incredibly involved in, feminist issues, minority issues. And I just, these were things that I never really, really paid attention to. I mean, you know, I had white privilege like everybody else, and that privilege allowed me to look away. And now that I was looking for the first time, I thought, there's a lot that I can do. There's a lot that I can contribute to, and it requires some new knowledge and new ways of thinking and new ways of expanding my mind in order to be able to do that. And so Dramatic Impact with Allie was sort of my way of grabbing other people that were on that same journey with me and saying, let's go do this, let's go figure out how we can make a difference in the world. And honestly, what I have found is that where we think we are the most helpless, we're absolutely not. We have more power than we think, especially when we unify.
Well, and I think it's great. And I think it goes hand in hand with what you were doing with families, because it all comes down to what are we going to pass on to the next generation?
Yeah.
So if we're passing on to them, you know, how to raise a good family, how to do certain things, why not explain also how to be good leaders, how to be good people, how to be kind to each other and to everybody that we encounter. So I'm so glad that you're doing that.
Yeah, exactly. And thank you so much.
All right. Well, let's bring on our guest, and with a little bit of information first. And I didn't know this, that it was to this degree, but according to the Center for Disease Control, cigarette smoking is the leading cause of preventable disease and death in the United States, accounting for more than 480,000 deaths every year. That's one in every five deaths. It's just astounding to me that we still have that with all the information that we have on smoking. So for anybody out there, if you smoke or you wish you didn't, our guest today, Rocky Rosen, is the founder of the cigarette whisperer, and he cares a great deal about you. Now, he describes himself as a got to quit, can't quit, must stop, can't stop, there's no way out, ex-smoker. So, at one time, Rocky was smoking up to 2 packs a day and had tried numerous ways to stop smoking, including nicotine replacement therapy, acupuncture, hypnosis, injections, aversion therapy, and support groups. And although he was able to get some time off from cigarettes, once even up to 2 years, eventually the urge to smoke would reappear, and Rocky would find that he was right back smoking as much as he ever was. So today, after 30 years being smoke-free, he has helped hundreds of people kick the smoking habit. His life is dedicated to helping any smoker who wants to walk away permanently from their nicotine addiction so they can enjoy a better health, cleaner living, a sense of accomplishment, and so much more. So with no further ado, Rocky, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing great.
Oh, good. And I'm so humbled, by the way, I'm so humbled to be here, and I've heard so much about you, Alan, and Allie and I have met, and, you know, I wound up with you because of Matt Polachek.
Yes.
And the relationship I share with Matt.
Yeah, and
over at Betty Ford.
Exactly, yeah, and Matt is the regular co-host who has taken some time off, but he does incredible things at the Hazleton Betty Ford Center, and that was something that he and I started talking about when he told me more about you, was, you know, that this is another addiction, that they have addictions that they focus on at the Betty Ford Clinic, but that he said anybody who has one to cigarettes, he sends to you. So
that's right.
To me, that was huge, you know, that someone of Matt's stature believes that is the way to do it. They don't even try to do it themselves. They send them to you.
Well, and I'm humbled by that. I'm dedicated and humbled. So hi.
Yes.
Hi, everybody.
So I think, so to start off with, so share with our listeners a little bit about how long you were a smoker, and what did you go through that made you finally become so inspired to quit?
Okay, well, I smoked for over 20 years. About 8-9 years into it, I developed a hacking cough. And I didn't know it, but I went on a 11 years, 12-year mission to quit smoking. And I was trying everything I could find. One of my favorite memories, a horrible memory, but one of my favorite memories, I went to opening night Star Wars at Grauman's Chinese for Star Wars. Star Wars 3, which was Star Wars 6, however George Lucas counts his things, back in the 70s, 80s. And I got a phone call from a friend of mine the next day saying, "Hey, Rocky, did you see Star Wars last night?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I knew that was you. I could hear you coughing." I had this horrible cough that always announced me. I'd cough if I laugh. I'd cough if I walked up steps. My doctors were telling me, "Rocky, if you don't stop smoking, you may hit 40, but you won't hit 50. And I would take that information. I'd go outside, have a cigarette, go, "Okay, what do I do with this? Okay, I'll try this methodology. I'll try that methodology." And every methodology about stopping smoking, from where I was coming from, has it backwards. Every stop smoking methodology is just like recovery. Just like wanting to make changes in your life, smokers will tell themselves, "I don't want to do this anymore. I've got to quit." And I'll ask them, "Well, how long have you been telling yourself you don't want to do this?" And they'll say, "I've been saying that for years." And I go, "But what do you still do?" "I still smoke." So the truth about smokers is not that we don't, those of us who've gotten addicted, is not that we, and that can go with any drug too, isn't that we don't want to smoke. The truth is we do want to smoke. We just don't want to suffer the consequences. So the first thing my clients come to realize is urges aren't going to go away, so let me teach you how to use the urges, and I'll tell you where this concept came from. And the other big lie is I've got to quit smoking. People tell themselves for years they've got to quit, but they keep on smoking. And the truth is nobody has to stop. You may hate yourself. Your health can suffer. Cigarettes can hurt you in a way you can't dream that they're going to take you out and how badly they can hurt you, and you can die, but you can smoke anytime you want to. So one of the things my clients do, even after they stop smoking, is we still carry cigarettes with us. Not forever, but for a short period of time, so you know you always have the choice. And these concepts came from Albert Ellis, so in his book Rational Cognitive Behavioral Therapy. Learning how to take something that in your life that you think is a negative and change your perception and make it a positive. Wanting to smoke, wanting to drink, wanting to drug is not somebody's problem. It's their condition. If they've gotten addicted, it's when you do smoke, that's the problem. So that's kind of the germ of it. I stopped smoking on June 17th. I haven't smoked since June 17th, 1987. And I didn't begin to help anybody stop smoking until I had about 3 years off cigarettes, never dreaming that this was going to turn into a calling. So,
you know, it's interesting that you know the exact day, and which is interesting to me because I know that the last time that I smoked a cigarette was was December 19th, 1976.
Wow.
That's important to that's important to remember. It's one of the most significant dates in my life.
Yeah, and for me it was as a teenager, but now is it something that most people do remember, that you know what that date is? So let's say that they start working with you and they've tried, you know, 10 other ways to quit smoking and it hasn't mm-hmm. worked. Now they try with you, it's successful. How many of them, when you go back to them, do they know exactly what that date is?
I'd say at least 60% of them. I really drill into them that this is a most significant date. It's no different than July 4th, 1776. It's a date of independence. It's a date of emancipation. You know, and understand something about smoking. Smoking isn't smoking. Smoking's a relationship. People who are addicted to cigarettes are deeply involved with their cigarettes. It's actually the most intimate, most important thing in their life. I always ask my clients, who or what comes first in your life? And I'll get answers like my significant other, my kids, my pet, my job. Some people tell me it's God. Some people tell me it's themselves. And the truth is, they're wrong. What comes first when you're a smoker are your cigarettes. They come before everything and everyone in your life. And I always tell my clients, cigarettes are shaped perfectly. Pardon me, Allie. They're just little pricks that want to hurt you. You love them.
No offense taken.
They don't even know you. You love them. They don't even know you exist.
Yeah.
It's a very... So how I always look at it is I don't teach people how to quit smoking. I teach people how to get free from tobacco and nicotine. And, you know, with the advent of the vape cigarettes and people thinking this is the safer way to do it, it's not. I mean, they're finding... Now there's about 10 years of experience of e-cigarettes. They're finding vapors are getting popcorn lung, which closes up the airways, allowing blood to get into, allowing oxygen to get into the bloodstream. But it contains nicotine. And Allie, you and I talked about it when I appeared on your show, and I'm so grateful for that opportunity, by the way. But Alan, you know, you've heard the word nicotine for years. Do you know what nicotine is?
No, share with us.
Okay, because the tobacco industry has been brilliant hiding the truth about nicotine in dictionaries. Nicotine is an insecticide. It's going to kill a cockroach. It's one of the most lethal substances on Earth. If a smoker would inhale in 1 second the amount of nicotine they put in their body in a day, during the whole day, they'll be dead before they hit the ground. So when I smoke, when I chew... When I chew nicotine gum, when I wear the patch, when I vape, all I'm doing all day long is insecticiding myself. And how can you be at your optimum health? How can you be your optimum self if you're continuously and constantly insecticiding yourself?
No, I mean,
so it's about it's about knowledge and it's about power.
Yeah, and it's a great point, and I think that's part of the, you know, the thing that we're doing more now. I mean, with the internet and with information out there, is people can look these things up. I think there was a time with cigarettes that, you know, part of the marketing was just, you know, it's cool. It's the cool thing to do.
Yep.
You know, look at, you know, your favorite Hollywood people are doing it, you know. And so mm-hmm. there was a concentrated marketing effort out there to make people believe that it was cool, which is why it was something that was marketed to young people. It was marketed to teenagers that would be a little bit more
susceptible.
Yeah, perfect. You know, to something like that. and now getting information out. And just like yourself, having you on this show, that's part of the reason is I want parents to be able to take this show and sit down this evening and listen to it with their kids after they've gotten out of school and say, you know, don't listen to me because I know as a parent there are certain things you're not going to listen to me about. But listen to this man. He can tell you what the truth is about it. They can go now and they can Google nicotine and they can see that it's an insecticide. I think this is the way that we make change, and that's why we're so thankful for someone like yourself.
Yeah, and I actually want to add to this because, you know, from the conversations that you and I had, Rocky, that you may remember that, you know, I grew up with two parent smokers. My father quit later on, and my mother still smokes. And I promised myself I was never, ever, ever going to smoke. And then, of course, I did in college. I started. And I remember the moment that I chose to smoke, and it was because I wanted to fit in. I was having a really hard time. I was in a college out of state. I had left the Greek system. I wasn't fitting in there, and now I'm a theater major and all. The theater artistic people were smoking, and the way for me to fit in was to stand out there on the smoking dock with them. And I remember thinking, I can't believe I'm doing this, but it's worth it. I get to fit in. Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes back to what you were saying too, Alan, about that's marketing. That's, you know, you're cool. You get to hang with the cool kids. You get to be accepted.
Yeah.
And plus, you see, the thing that happens is, we start off as non-smokers. At some point or another, some of us become social smokers. Mm-hmm. And not all the social smokers, but some of us social smokers, we cross this invisible line where suddenly I'm an addicted smoker. I don't care if my friends are around or not. I have yet, and I've been doing this since, I've been helping people since 91, I have yet to speak with one client who said, yeah, I started smoking by myself. Just doesn't happen that way. It starts as social. And by the way, for the first time in 3 years, smoking is on the climb again, merely because kids are now, instead of maybe smoking, they're vaping, but within a year, 30, 40, 50% of them are smoking cigarettes.
See that?
As their favorite way of delivering nicotine to the body.
That's frightening.
Yeah, I had the same feeling. It was, and I didn't know until just looking, studying up on you, Rocky, and what you're doing. I didn't know that there was nicotine in the vaping. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
so
that's what it is. They're vaping. Their e-cigarettes are nicotine derivative. And by the way, the thing about nicotine, what people don't understand is people think nicotine is added to tobacco. No, nicotine is a naturally occurring substance. Only place it's found in concentration is in tobacco. So it's naturally occurring in tobacco. And to talk about that for a second, the most evil brand out there, the one who I'm picking a war with, and I'm just waiting for them to sue me, are American Spirits. Because American Spirits have for years tried to pass themselves off as a healthier alternative. But the thing is, when you ignite tobacco, tobacco breaks down into over 4,000 different compounds that get released, that get absorbed into the bloodstream. Some of these compounds are formaldehyde, arsenic, cyanide, benzene, cadmium, heavy metals. There's even minute amounts of radioactive material released when you ignite tobacco, and this is where the epidemiologists believe cancers originate from these free radical radioactive materials circulating in the bloodstream, get caught on a some plaque or against an organ, just kind of sits in or radiates and changes the cellular structure. There's a whole bunch of gnarly stuff in American, in all of them. The thing about American Spirits, what people, they don't tell people is, if you go to a tobacco plantation, what you'll see are a lot of feral cats, because for some reason, vermin thrive, rats thrive in tobacco plantation, in tobacco fields. So what American Spirits, who they're saying they're 100% additive-free, what those smokers get are a lot more rat urine, rat feces, rat afterbirth, rat body parts in their tobacco than you'll find in a Marlboro, who do rat poison their tobacco. So, I don't know. I don't know what's better. All I know this is, I always say, love the smoker, hate the cigarettes. I loathe the way smokers are treated today. They're treated like second-class people. They're treated like pariahs. When really what they are, they're just kind people, hopefully, who got tricked as a kid. See, that's what happened to your mother, Allie. She got tricked as a kid when she became addicted
Yeah.
And, you know, if I can run a loop real quick.
Sure.
You ask a doctor what's an addiction, they're going to tell you it's a disease. So people think we're sick because we smoke, but disease does not mean sickness or illness. Disease is just dis-ease, discomforted, uncomfortable. And the reason why people smoke is they get an urge to smoke, it feels uncomfortable. They smoke a cigarette, that urge goes away, they feel better, but nicotine leaves the body very quickly. So if they're a pack-a-day smoker, within about 45 minutes to an hour, you're going to be feeling uncomfortable again. And people, do you want to know why people smoke? Do you want to know why your mother smokes, Allie?
I actually remember this, and I've been waiting for you to say this because it's an important aspect. It's one of my favorite things that you said on my last show, what the addiction actually is.
Why do people smoke, Allie?
I'm not going to say it as well as you, but I will try. The reason that they're smoking is to prevent themselves from the discomfort of not smoking.
The reason why people smoke is to try to make the urge to smoke go away.
Yes. See, I told you I wasn't going to say it as well as you did.
The reason why people smoke is they try to end their jones, but as a result, they're jonesing all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it happens that, and this continuously of insecticide in ourselves, and the effect it does, the way it can break down our organs, the way it, see, smoking affects every organ of the body negatively. Smoking does not cause all death and disease. Smoking just promotes any diseases or can cause diseases our body are susceptible to.
Mm.
From the skin, and it affects every organ from the skin in. And if you ever seen a smoker who's all wrinkly, mm-hmm. and their skin looks pretty withered,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that's what they look like on the inside.
That's a good point.
Interesting.
I was, the surgeon who I'm pretty close with was telling me, you know, when I cut open a smoker, the smell and the look of the organs are so much different than non-smokers. But, you know, we don't see that. We don't see beneath the skin.
Well,
so.
Well, there was a time, and I remember when I was a kid, that was one of the things that was a turn off when it came down to smoking was, I think it was in a chemistry class or biology class or something like that, where they showed the inside of a smoker's lung, you know, that had died.
Yeah.
And you know, and it was dark and crusty and stuff, as opposed to the inside of a normal person's, which was pink and had some elasticity to it. So yes,
yeah, well, that's COPD and emphysema. They are no fun. You can't catch a breath. You can't live, but you can't die, and it's a horrible, horrible state to stay in when you're emphysemic or ending the end stages of COPD. It's just horrific.
Well, Rocky, I want to go back.
Yeah, you know, when you watch. Go on. I was going to go off on another tangent.
That's okay. I want to go back to the e-cigarette thing, because one of the things you were talking about that I didn't know was that there was nicotine in the vaping. And what we're saying is that, you know, that it's a natural element in tobacco. Well, does that mean that they're adding nicotine to this vaping?
What that means is they're taking tobacco and they're extracting the nicotine from the tobacco into a concentrated level and putting it into an electronic, along with some other substances, where you put it inside an e-cigarette, an e-pipe,
mm-hmm.
it heats it up and it releases it and you inhale it. You know, and for everybody who's sitting there out there who does vape, you notice that when you vape, that peppery taste, that's kind of hit to the back of the throat that you get. The reason why you feel that peppery taste and that hit to the back of your throat that you get is because you're inhaling insecticide. Every time mm-hmm. somebody vapes or every time somebody smokes, for all the good they're doing themselves, they might as well be spraying a squirt of hot Raid down their throat.
So why are they saying that having an e-cigarette is better? They're saying that it's not great, but at least it's a step up from an actual cigarette.
Yeah.
How are they justifying that?
Well, because it doesn't have the arsenic, the cyanide, the benzene. I mean, when you ignite tobacco, they're just extracting the nicotine mm-hmm. As best they can. I'm no scientist, but when you ignite tobacco, there are over 4,000 compounds that get released in just the ignition of tobacco. So there's less material, there's less substances in the e-cigarette, but you know what? It's an insecticide, guys. Testify that, how that's good for you.
Well, and one of the concerns that I have is that when I see these things advertised now, that the e-cigarettes are now, they're flavored. You know, I walk past like a group of kids and I can smell them. It'll have this very nice aroma now, so that everything
bubble
is
gum and
yeah, exactly. You know, and so you know, are we just repeating the past by now essentially marketing to kids? Without saying that we are, but at the same time, you know, if you make something bubblegum flavored, you're probably not trying to, you know, market to, you know, 60-year-old men.
Right.
No, you're not. And, you know, they can be packaged in such a way. And now, and I'm surprised if you haven't heard of this, how kids who get into this e-juice, which you load into your pipe, how kids are seeing this package pretty and it smells good and are drinking it. And are getting very, very ill, if not dying.
Oh my goodness!
From just because it smells so good. And you know, I'm talking about little children at this point. I'm talking about 3-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old toddlers finding their parents' container of each of the nicotine juice.
Wow. That's so, something I didn't realize. That's pretty upsetting to hear.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, but it's the reality.
Well,
it's the reality. And, you know, people can give me a million excuses why they smoke, but they can't give me one good reason why they do it. Or, as I like to say, I can give you a million excuses why I should smoke again, but I don't have one good reason for it. And my whole technique is not about depriving yourself. It's freeing yourself. You know, I always, you know, I'm somebody who happens to believe O.J. Simpson murdered 2 people. I can't prove it. It's a belief of mine. But if he did do that, I always say to my clients, you know, you are to a cigarette what Nicole Simpson was to O.J. Simpson. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you mean by that? I go, well, do you know how many 911 calls Nicole made? She made many, many calls, but she kept taking him back. The difference between Nicole Simpson and my mother, who died of lung cancer, was where her wounds were carved from the outside in. Smokers, our wounds are carved from the inside out. You love them. They don't give a damn about you. And are you tired of being... And this is... When somebody is caught up in addiction, they are a slave. And I don't mean this in any fun bedroom fantasy, not 9.5 weeks or 50 Shades of Grey. This is true slavery. Mm-hmm. They own you. You will do what they tell you to do, when they tell you to do, what they tell you to do, whether you want to do it or not. And your mother, Allie, has herself convinced that she can't stop. You know, stopping. When we think about stopping smoking, we get to a place of fear. I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, stopping smoking is uncomfortable, but so is smoking. And when fear overwhelms us, then fear stands for false evidence appears real. The false evidence here is, I can't stop. That seems real to me, so I don't even have to try.
Well, I actually...
And when fear...
Go ahead and finish your thought. Go ahead.
And when fear overwhelms us, oh, I can't do this, I usually use a dirty word, but I'll use a clean word. Fear then stands for forget everything and run back to the cigarettes. But when we use our fear as a positive motivating force, it becomes face everything and realize the dream of being free. Feel everything and recover from this. You know, because if what I do for my clients, I do right, they never get to know how good it is. Because when a person smokes, it's like a bullet has been fired and it's coming their way. And my question to my clients is, you want to walk into that bullet or do you want to step out of its path? Or another way I put it is, everybody who smokes today will quit at some point. Question you want to ask yourself is, do you want to stop healthy or do you want to stop sick?
You know, one of the things that I wanted to address again, and it goes back to the conversation that we had in the past, and it was about my mother, since we keep bringing her up as an example. that you had said, and I thought that this was so interesting, that my mother doesn't want to quit. And she has said that for years. She's cut down, and, you know, we've been proud of her. But when we say, Mom, we want you around, you know, we need you, you know, your grandkids love you, we need you to quit, she says, I know, honey, but I don't want to. And you had addressed that on my show. You had talked about how you can't help anyone who doesn't truly want to quit, and that your ideal client is only somebody who has a deep desire to quit and doesn't believe that they can. Can you
address that? First off, I never ask anybody, do you want to quit smoking? Because I know the answer is yes and no. Mm-hmm. I always ask clients, do you wish you didn't smoke? There's a huge difference between those two. It's not, nobody, no addict 100% wants to quit practicing their addiction.
Sure.
Because they think they're getting a payoff. So it isn't a matter of, do you want to quit? And let me tell you something else. When you tell your mother you're proud of her that she's cutting back, that she hears that in a different way than what you're saying.
She hears that I'm proud of her for smoking.
What she hears is, oh, my God, so if I go back to smoking the way I normally do, she won't be proud of me anymore.
Oh, wow.
So I'll hide it more from her. When people say they're proud of you that you got sober, that I'm proud of you that you stopped smoking, what they're doing is they're taking away your personal choice. And I know you mean that from love and all that stuff, but when I say I'm proud of you that you stopped, what that means is if you do it again, I won't be as proud of you. So I have my clients address that very quickly with anybody who says that to them.
What's a better way for me to encourage my mother then? Is there a different way?
Here's a simple question. Do you wish you didn't smoke? Mm-hmm. If she says yes, then we've got something for her. If she says no, leave it alone. She's going to smoke until she goes. Mm-hmm. I'm not anti-smoking. People think I'm on this mission from God to change the world and get people to quit smoking. I don't care if a person smokes or not. I care deeply if they wish they didn't. I'm the biggest supporter of smokers' rights. I loathe the way smokers are treated in society today. Well, it's funny. Pardon me. I've got a brown lab, and I was at a dog park about 2-3 weeks ago. And there was a woman from England at the dog park smoking a cigarette in the park. And this one woman came huffing up to her. You got to put that out. There's no smoking. This is a no. And she was on all the way on the other side of the park. And she came up and she started giving this woman all kinds of crap for her smoking. So I stepped and I said, lady, you made your point. Back off.
Hmm.
You're self-righteous. I always tell my clients, you do not want to... Can we use blue language on this, or can I not use blue language? I don't use a lot of it, but can I?
Yes.
I always tell my clients, you do not want to become one of these holier-than-thou ex-smokers, or as I like to say, an ass-holier-than-thou ex-smoker. You want to treat smokers with love and kindness.
Mm-hmm.
If their smoke bothers you, step away or ask them if they could step away. And every smoker I know will step away if you ask them to, especially if you do it with kindness. Smokers already feel bad enough about themselves. Right. They don't need everybody else reinforcing that, and they're heavily taxed. I mean, looking right now, I guess a pack of cigarettes in LA is close to $10 a pack. When I started smoking, they were 35 cents a pack, and anybody could buy them. I remember my mother sending me to the store and saying, go get me a pack of cigarettes, and I say, I'm buying cigarettes for my mother, and they'd give me a pack. I think I was around 10 or 11 I could do that. So
yeah, it's certainly changed.
There's been lots of changes, but still there's over 40 million smokers in this country.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, but we're going to take a break. So for anybody out there, if you are listening or if you just tuned in and you're going, what are they talking about? We are talking to the Cigarette Whisperer. And if you'd like to follow along, if you're sitting at your computer, you can go to thecigarettewhisperer.com. You can open up another window. Obviously, if you're driving out there, don't try this. So stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service, licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. We are talking with Rocky Rosen, and he is the Cigarette Whisperer. And with me is my guest co-host, Allie Lapreet. Allie, again, it's so glad to have you here. And as those that were listening earlier realized that Rocky has been on your show as well. Mm-hmm. So we were just talking a little bit about, as we were going through the whole show, was all of the different problems and the things that we're dealing with. And I know that you had said you'd spoken with Rocky a little bit about how do we now get them out of this?
Right. Yeah. And Rocky, you know, I don't know if I know you do so many interviews, but this was one of the more insightful interviews that I remember giving on my show. And I learned so much from you. And one of the things that really kind of drew me to you and bonded me to you was that we both had a real understanding of mindset. And my big question to you, and I learned so much, and I'd love for you to share it on the show as well. My big question to you, I remember, was we already know that smoking is bad. If we didn't already realize the gravity of it, you've absolutely gone and explained that to us again. But what is the difference between your methods and how you get your clients to quit smoking and all of the other things that they've tried? I know that you yourself tried for many, many years. And, you know, like I said before, all of Hollywood is talking about how you're the one guy that seems to make it happen when nothing else has worked. Can you talk a little bit about that mindset that you help your clients get into?
Well, first of all, before I even do that, just because Hollywood talks about me, that doesn't mean I'm not there for the everyday person, too.
Of course.
So I just want to make that very, very plain. Every stop smoking methodology I know of, every stop smoking methodology I ever tried was tried to do two things. They tried to convince me that I didn't want to smoke and that I had to stop. That I was, you know, their whole thing was fight, deny, or ignore those urges. Mm-hmm. And my whole technique is teaching you how to use those urges to smoke as the way to stop instead of fighting or ignoring. Because the urge to use, and one of the things I also do, just so you know, Alan and Allie, sounds like a TV series, Alan and Allie, is I also do relapse prevention program for people who are out having problems staying sober, whether it be with drug addiction or alcoholism. The urge to use can be as big as a boulder that's crushing you. Or the urge to use can be as insignificant as one's belly button. Allie, how much attention do you put on your belly button?
Probably far too much. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I try to avoid
it. You probably don't think about it very often, do you?
No, I don't.
But where do you go without a belly button? Nowhere. It's always there. Mm-hmm. And that's how I see the urge to smoke, the urge to use. Whether I know it's there or not, it's there. And I'm not going to run away from it. I'm going to embrace it. My clients learn how to embrace their urges, not fight their urges. Mm. And that's the significant difference between me and pretty much any recovery program out there is, hey, you don't want to do this anymore. You just don't want to do this. Look at how much it's ruined your life. You don't want to do this. When the reality is I do want to do this. I just don't want to suffer the consequences.
Now,
so
Rocky,
I don't know. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, no, Rocky, it makes perfect sense. But would you say that these methods would also work for people with other addictions?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it has.
Okay, so...
But I'll tell you what I can't help people with. I can't help people with food, and I can't help people with interpersonal relationships with this technique. Because we need to eat, and we need to relate. But we don't need to smoke, we don't need to drink, we don't need to drug, but we do, you know. So with the, if it's substance abuse, I can help you. If it's human behavior, not so much.
So that's
if it's food, if it's
It surprises me when you say with food, because part of food is it's something that we have to have some of. We don't necessarily have to have as much of, or mm-hmm. in choosing different things. You know, choosing the double cheeseburger over the salad.
Right.
Well, I was actually.
Food is just very, 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 very tricky. You know, when it comes to. As far as my technique is concerned.
Well, you know, I was going to add to that because, Alan, this is a very interesting thing. I found out a couple of years ago, I think we talked on the last show, that I was hospitalized for depression. And one of the things was they asked me to go to an addiction group. And I said, I don't need to go to an addiction group. I'm not addicted to anything. And they said, you need to go anyway. And I went to the addiction group. And what I discovered was that I was addicted to people. I was codependent. And I said, well, okay, like what you're mm-hmm. saying, Rocky, you know, if you're addicted to heroin, you stay away from heroin. If you're addicted to nicotine, you stay away from nicotine. But how do you stay away from people? And there is a way, and I don't want to you know, sabotage the show and make it all about this, but it is interesting when you do break apart, everybody's addicted to something, and recognizing it, like you said, Rocky, and acknowledging it and giving yourself over to it rather than being resistant to it is actually your greatest way of overcoming it.
That's how I found it. Mm-hmm. That's how I find it. Wanting to smoke or wanting to use is not a problem. It's a condition that we've developed. It's when you use that you have a problem. Mm-hmm. It's when you smoke you have a problem. Wanting to smoke isn't the problem. It's the condition. And it's just learning how not to fight those urges, but actually welcome those urges. See, when a person calls me, they hate themselves for smoking, but they love their cigarettes, and what I do very quickly is I flip that. I teach you how to get comfort with your urges and how to really come to hate cigarettes. The biggest killer in the country.
Now, Rocky, okay, so you've mentioned now a couple of times about smokers hating themselves for smoking. So how do you mm-hmm. psychologically get them to stop these thoughts and replace them with loving themselves?
Okay. Well, it's a 4-day program. Day one is how to overcome deprivation. Day two is how not to repress but use the urges. Day three is Independence Day. And day four is relapse prevention and ongoing support. Because when a client hires me, they have access to me on a 24/7 basis. Now, that may sound nuts, but since I'm available 24/7, I'm not needed that much. So back to your question. What was your question again, Alan?
Well, just,
psychologically. On day one, I get people to start, they say a few words to themselves before they light a cigarette. Mm-hmm. And I've sat down with them, and we've made a list of benefits. And so what a person will say to themselves before they light up is they'll say to themselves, you know, if we're working together, they've already admitted they're nicotine addicted, so they'll say, I'm nicotine addicted, and I want to smoke, and I can. I don't have to stop. But I deserve better health, self-esteem, freedom, family, longer life, better life, smell better, taste better, feel better. Huge accomplishment. And so they just, instead of just instantly reaching for a cigarette and putting it in their mouth, there's a pause between that. And then on day two, they do the same thing. But then they also say those words every half hour, so they're not just waiting for the urges. They start to call up the urges. On day three, I pull out the magic, and it is magic, mm-hmm. And I get them free. And on day four, again, like I said, relapse prevention. But I can tell everybody right now, and I mentioned magic. Do you believe, Alan and Ali, do you believe they're in moments in life that can change the entire trajectory of your life?
Absolutely.
100%.
Do you believe there are magical moments that can change everything?
Yes.
Definitely.
Well, I definitely have magic up my sleeve for my clients, but I'll give that magic away right now. Do you want to know what the whole trick to quitting smoking is?
Sure.
Yeah.
Don't light the next one.
Well, yeah.
You see, stopping smoking is ridiculously simple. It's just not easy. And if that's too tough for somebody to do, I'll take that just not like the next one, not just make it simple for you, but make it doable for you.
You know, one of the things that I remember that you had told me, and we had actually had this conversation before. I quit smoking. I haven't smoked in, I think, something like 16 years. And I haven't really desired one, and I know that's different than how you are. I know that you had said that you desire it every day, and you just know that you have the power to not light a cigarette.
No, I don't.
Oh, you didn't. Okay.
No, I don't.
My apologies. But one of the ways that I quit, and you had confirmed this, is that the addiction to the nicotine, and maybe I'm going to say this wrong, is out of your system in 48 hours, and then it just becomes the habit that you're battling.
The vast, if somebody's been smoking 20, 30, 40 years, 2-3 packs a day, at any point they stop smoking, within 24 hours, the vast majority of nicotine is out of the system. Within 72 hours, it's untraceable. You can't find it in the system.
Wow.
So people, when they go in for really expensive life insurance policies, think, hey, if I don't smoke for 3 days, I'll be fine. But what happens then is nicotine breaks down into a substance called codeine, which is what the insurance companies are really looking for. And if they find codeine, that codeine will stay in the body for about between 45 to 90 days.
Mm.
So if a person is filling out a life insurance policy, they white-knuckled it for 72 hours and they think they're going to show up clean. They're not. And the other bad thing that happens is they'll be denied their insurance because they lied on their insurance application. And now that's going to go to a clearinghouse, and anytime they try to go get life insurance, all the other life insurance companies, you know, hey, this person lies on their life insurance application. I'm not going to take them. So this nicotine is out of the system. The vast amount is out within 24 hours, totally out within 72 hours.
Hmm.
See, this is the thing about addictions is, especially nicotine, it's mental. It's not physical. Kicking nicotine is the most gentle kick of all drug addictions there are.
Well, which I was going to say, that brings the thought in regards to comparing it with drugs and alcohol, and something I've heard from many sources, I can remember it going back for years, but, you know, many people that I've spoken to, they talk about the fact that being addicted to drugs and alcohol, that it's overwhelmingly harder to stop smoking.
To stop smoking.
Cigarettes.
Do you want to know why?
Yes, I would love to know why.
Okay. Alan, I don't want to break anybody's anonymity, so, and I don't know if you're in recovery or not. But if you talk to somebody who's in recovery, and by the way, cigarettes are the same drug that killed the two founders of AA. Bill Wilson died of emphysema. Dr. Bob Smith died of lung cancer. If you ask somebody who's sober, who's gotten into recovery, whether it be 12-step or however they did it, you ask them, do you remember the day before you got sober? And they're going to go, yeah, it was one of the worst days of my life. I've never been to a 12-step meeting where somebody walked in and said, hey, I had the greatest day yesterday, so I thought I'd get sober today. They've hit a bottom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are further bottoms, but they've hit an emotional, they've hit a career bottom, they've hit a family bottom, losing their home, losing their family, losing whatever. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Drugs and alcohol are a threefold addiction. It's a physical craving, it's a mental obsession, and it's a spiritual malady. The person's spirit is just destroyed. With smoking, there's no spiritual malady. There's no, I'm losing my family. You don't get fired because you smoke the way you may get fired because you're doing cocaine or stuff like that. And since it doesn't have that spiritual maliciousness, that's why people in recovery will think it's tougher to stop smoking than doing drugs and alcohol, because they don't hit a bottom until the bottom they hit is a really ugly bottom.
You know,
did that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And Rocky, I got to tell you, I just looked up, and we are just about out of time. We've only got about 15 seconds.
Okay.
Two things real quick. One is, I've heard you tell a joke that sheds a little psychological insight as to why some people start smoking, and tell me how that goes again. I've heard you tell a little
joke. Why do smokers cross the road?
How? Why?
It's because people who don't smoke tell them not to.
Wow, that's a good one.
The more you tell somebody don't do something, the more you're encouraging them to do it.
I agree. And what is the best way for people to contact you?
Well, best way is my phone number, okay. Which I'll give twice. It's 818-961-6978. And I work with people anywhere in the world. Furthest I've worked with somebody is in Australia. We do not have to be in the same room. So again, my phone number is 818-961-6978, or else just go to thecigarettewhisperer.com.
Exactly. And for anybody out there, if you're driving, I realize you can't write things down, we will have all of this information on our site, on the Answers for the Family site. Rocky, thank you so much for coming on. Actually, I wish we had more time because this is great information. We really appreciate it. I just want to acknowledge you. I really appreciate what you're doing out there. I think you're saving a lot of lives.
Yeah. And thank
well,
you. Thank
and
you, Rocky.
Feel free to have me back.
I love that our paths keep crossing. It's wonderful to have spoken with you again, Rocky.
Love you, Allie. Hey, guys, all the very best of this year and all the very best.
Thank you.
You too.
And you too.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. And Allie, what is the best way that we can get in contact with you for anybody out there that it would like to know more about what you're doing?
For everything that I'm doing, I'm always doing something. Go to my one hub, which is AllieLopreet.com. And my last name is LOPRETE, AllieLopreet.com.
All right. For everybody out there.
She's great.
You are too.
Please be sure to put on your calendar and tune in next Monday when our guest will be Penny Pierce, author of Transparency, Seeing Through to our expanded human capacity. So, Rocky, Allie, thank you so much. And for everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, guys.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.